Fabulous Fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego. It's time. Buckle up. It's a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. Guys, it is a very important month coming upon us. We're recording this episode on the last day of September, and that means tomorrow is October 1st. And for all you ladies out there, and all you men, actually, this transcends any gender. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. A very important month. And why is that important? Because we need to have this issue top of mind, because early detection means survival, means everything. And I'm going to hit you guys up really, really hard to make sure that you all go to see your doctor, get your tests, do what you need to do, be accountable, because together we could survive this awful disease and make it better for all the other peers and colleagues and friends in the world. And to help me in this plight, because I want every single one of you to listen to this podcast and then make a phone call or an appointment or whatever you have to do. But to help me in this plight, we have some very special and personal storytelling. I am actually joined by my colleague, Karen Wojcik, and her mom. And we're going to get into it. So ladies, Liz, Karen, welcome to Raise Nation Radio. I'm honored to have you both here. Thank you for joining the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, before we get into it, and I think hopefully the audience has a little idea of where we're going. Liz is a breast cancer survivor, and we're going to talk about that and what that means. But let's get to just know each other first. The audience knows me. So I want both of you to just introduce yourself to all of Raise Nation. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, Karen, what you do at One Cause, and whatever you'd like to share personally. Karen, can we start with you?
Yeah. Thanks, Dawn. So yeah, I am a senior national customer success manager at One Cause. I have been at One Cause for almost 9 years, and I work with some of our national organizations just to make sure that they get the most out of their software, work on strategy planning, things like that, and getting them to be successful in primarily their event, but also their year-round fundraising. So I'm really excited to be a part of that team. Thrilled to still be a part of One Cause for so long. Mom, you want to introduce yourself?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I'm the mom of four daughters.
Four. Karen, you have three sisters?
I have a twin sister and two older sisters. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I was in education for 41 years. I taught high school family and consumer science, classes like child development, fashion, nutrition and wellness, things like that. But have been retired for a little more than a year now. And so a whole new world out there in retirement. But
I bet you've never been so busier, right?
Right, exactly. what did I do this week? And then it just fills up. And luckily with beautiful grandchildren. So that's what I'm all about now.
All about being a mom and a grandma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. So this is really special. I mean, we hear about different nonprofits that join us, and they'll bring some of the clients that they serve on the show, and we'll hear stories. But this one really is close to the heart. This is a woman I can relate, and I had my own scare a couple of years ago, so can't imagine what it's actually like to go through the beginning and end. So take us back to that moment when you first discovered your breast cancer diagnosis. Liz, can you remember that moment, where you were, who you were with? And I could imagine how you were going to tell your family. Just bring us back to that moment.
Okay. It's very easy to remember because it was Mother's Day.
Oh, God, no. Really?
Yes. It was that evening, and we, I just was taking a shower, getting ready for school the next day, you know, and I have no idea what made me check, because I was never really, I mean, I was good about getting my mammograms, but never really good about self breast exam and that kind of thing. But something told me to check, and I found a lump.
The universe was speaking to you.
Yes. Thinking back, the place I found the lump was about 10 months prior. I'd had a doctor's appointment, and I'd had a little, not bad pain, but a little bit of pain in that area. And I asked my doctor, and I was due for a mammogram, and they sent me, you know, I got my mammogram scheduled, and it was all clear. So that worry went out of my head, and, you know, went on about my day. But after, when I found that lump, I realized it was the same general place, called my doctor. And of course, not telling anybody but my husband and a few close colleagues what was going on, until I had things verified. But was sent for an ultrasound, a diagnostic ultrasound. And of course, that is not conclusive, but the radiologist said it has all the markers of breast cancer. But he looked at me and just said, "We know how to fix this now." And that was so reassuring. Helped me get through the next few weeks. It did turn into, because, you know, I'm sure that cancer was there. They told me that cancer was there when I had my last mammogram. Luckily, it was a slow growing type. At that point, I still didn't tell the girls or my parents until we had a biopsy. And it was confirmed. I have to say, the hardest part of the whole journey, getting me choked up, was telling my kids.
Yeah.
And telling my parents. I didn't, you know, you don't think about my, you know, my parents were in their 80s. That was the hardest thing of the whole thing, you know. But ironically, to bring Karen in here a little bit on this, when we told the girls we had, you know, it was a few weeks later, and we just had everybody over for a bonfire at our house, which, you know, I'm blessed to have all four girls within 15 miles.
No boys. It's four girls. There are no other.
Right.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
All girls. Mm-hmm. And so we had everybody go over for a bonfire, and that's when we told them. And then Karen, jump in and share what you told us that night.
Yeah. So actually the same day that mom discovered her lump, I found out that day I was pregnant with my first.
Oh my God.
So like I found out I was going to be a mom on Mother's Day. And obviously we weren't telling people at this point, but, when she called us over for this dinner and we were just, you know, thinking it was going to be just another gathering like we always have, 'cause like she said, we all live so close. And then that turned out not to be the case because of her announcement. I thought, you know, I didn't want to, like, this is going to sound bad. I was toying in my mind, I remember all evening, am I going to like steal some thunder here? Like, that's not the right term. Like, I don't want to steal mom's thunder of like breast cancer. It's not like a good announcement.
You didn't want to diminish.
I did not want to diminish the importance of mom's announcement, but I also knew, I was like, I need to give mom and everybody some light to look forward to. And so we just decided to tell everybody that night. And now I have a almost 6-year-old, and our second as well is going to be 2 in December. So, but that was just a huge discovery for, we both had huge discoveries that day. And we were able to, kind of go through these brand new journeys together, her battling breast cancer and me going through my first pregnancy. So, it was quite an experience over that year.
Yeah. And it was 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, 2019 or 2018 into 2019.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And it's still raw. I mean, mm-hmm. you got choked up a little bit 6 years later. It doesn't change. I think the minute you mention your kids, you probably just hard to control those emotions. And Liz, Karen, I can't imagine the predicament you were in, right? You, mm-hmm. I fully understand you don't want to diminish or make light of the news that your mom just shared. But on the same token, it is a distraction for sure. And it yeah. certainly gives the family a reason to hope and to remember yeah. why you're in the fight, right? What more precious to fight for than your grandbabies, right? And your first grandbabies. Yeah. Was that your mindset, Liz, with hearing the news?
Yeah. That news was my lifeline. That was.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
Yeah. That was what I could hold on to at that, you know, and looking forward to this baby. And I was finishing my last, if he hadn't been born a week early, I would have been totally finished with all of my treatment by the time he was born. But as he was born a week early, and you know, I was finishing radiation, and you're supposed to be really tired, and you know, I got through everything pretty well. I'm a pretty strong person, and you know, I don't even remember that last week of radiation. I don't, because I was so excited about that baby and Karen and Kevin being brand new parents. It was like, okay, I'm staying with them. And I think they were ready for me to move in. And you know,
yeah.
it was,
we don't have time for this breast cancer right now. We've got a baby to bring into the world.
Yes. So
that's special. Before we get into the journey, let's talk a little bit about the importance. Liz, I want to hear from you, the importance and the message that you have to those that are listening right now. I heard, I'm sure you heard in the opening of this episode that we're going to come down hard on everybody, right? The importance of seeing your doctor regularly, getting your mammographies, doing those self-examinations. Can you talk to the audience and help me in helping them take action? Because it is just, you know, so important. And here, it's all important. You can't just do one, because in your case, your mammography came back negative. And it was, you know, the self-examination that helped you. And thank goodness the universe was speaking to you that told you to, you know, perform that examination. But talk to the audience right now, help them, inspire them. How important is it?
I didn't have breast cancer in my family. And that's what I think is, I've learned so much about through this journey is that, you know, yes, I think people who have that running in their family are more likely to be, you know, diligent about it. But most breast cancers are not really family related, genetically related. So it doesn't matter if it's not in your family. I just thought, okay, heart disease runs in my family, not cancer, you know? And I always felt blessed with that because, you know, you can control so much exercise, diet, everything with heart disease. And so it was totally not on my radar. And so getting those tests, now I did what I was supposed to do. I started getting mammograms when I was supposed to start to get them. And I know that, you know, even though it didn't detect it the first time, still just being in that routine, it would have a couple of months later, you know, I would have had my mammogram again and it would have found it. But and the biggest thing I can say, if something feels not right, like when I first felt that pain in that spot, make sure you check. Don't blow it off. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just check on my next mammogram. It matters. Now, after my diagnosis, then my cousin was also diagnosed, and I had a, you know, I say there was no breast cancer in my family. I always forget that my other cousin had been diagnosed about 5 years earlier, went through treatment, all good, you know. And even though I had my genetic testing done, one of my daughters is a genetic counselor. So there's no recognized genetic link in our family for breast cancer. But because both of my cousins on my father's side have had breast cancer, my girls can get ultrasounds and mammograms every 6 months, starting at age 35, because of that family history now. And you better believe I'll be bugging them to do that.
I know.
that will be happening. And because, you know, there is nothing, they won't have to go through everything I went through if they can catch something earlier than I did. Now, I feel very comfortable. I feel like I'm 5.5 years past treatment completion and 5.5 years in survival. And I just had an appointment last Wednesday and I'm doing great, but I basically had to do everything. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, we did a lumpectomy and detected a tiny amount in lymph nodes. So I went ahead and did chemo and radiation and did everything possible to make sure that I was around for these grandbabies.
And how many grandbabies do you have?
Well, I have twins that started college this year, and twin grandbabies, and then grandbabies, grandsons. And then a senior in high school, a seventh grader. And then we start with Kieran's oldest. It's at almost six. Mm-hmm. Jack turns four today.
Birthday, Jack. Let's shout out all their names.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jack.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jack. But let's go from oldest to youngest and just shout out their first names.
Okay. Eli and Brody are my twins. Okay. My oldest daughter's twin boys. And then Gavin's our senior in high school. Miles is a seventh grader. And then we start in with Porter, an unusual name. That was my father-in-law's name. Who's
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, who's almost six and doesn't listen to Mimi about growing. I keep telling
him to stop growing.
Okay, Porter, listen to Mimi.
And then Jack turns four today. And then Reed is Karen's second is
he'll be 22 months,
and a little stinker. He's such a sweetie. And then we finally have a little girl, Eliza, who will be.
How many is that? I lost count.
Eight.
That's eight.
Eight. So grandkids. A lot to live for. A lot to live for, and to, you know, all the people listening out there, right? We want to be around for these special moments and future generations and, you know, the people in our lives that mean so much. We have to do those self-exams. We have to go visit the doctor. We have to get the mammographies. We have to do all the things that we need to be doing. Karen, I want to turn to you because you work for a company that empowers nonprofits to raise funds to further their missions. And at one point, the doctors told your mom, "You're okay. We know how to fix that." And that has to do a lot with modern medicine, but it also has to do a lot with fundraising to get, to move modern medicine forward. So I think this is a double question. Karen, to you, what is it like to support nonprofits that are, you know, in the space, and their mission is breast cancer awareness and making sure everybody knows what to be doing and how to be doing it. And after you answer, Liz, how proud are you of your daughter and what she's doing? Because one cause is a little special, right? You know, you have to have passion and alignment for building better tomorrows, right? You can't just be anyone who works for one cause. You really want to make a difference. So, Karen, what does that mean to you to know that you're supporting the organizations that are supporting your mom?
Yeah. So I really love being able to work with one cause because of what we do is we better people's causes. We work with people towards their causes. One of our newest customers is Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And so them being new, I haven't been working with them for very long. But I'm just thrilled to have them as part of my client list, because of this very topic. But it is so great to know that I get to work with these nonprofits that often deal with what is really can be a sad topic or a hard or difficult topic. But the nature of event fundraising is something that's fun and can be cheerful and delightful. And so by being part of that, I think we can bring some positivity to those causes. Of course, raising money is what's most important for us as a software company that's built to do that. But the way in which you can do it and implement our software can be really fun and provide, I think, a little bit of light to those organizations and the people and the causes that they serve. So that's really a wonderful, I think, reason to do what I do. And I love working with all of these organizations and learning about the causes that they work, that they benefit.
Yeah. And Liz, how proud are you of Karen? Because it is a special place to work and we're doing such meaningful work, right?
Yeah.
And you have to have a certain heart and mindset for being helpful and passionate and aligned about building better tomorrow. So it's a very meaningful work. What does that mean to you? I'm sure you're proud of all your children and grandchildren.
I am.
But Karen is the one that's on this show today. So
yes.
Talk about, knowing that you went through something and she's supporting organizations that are there to support you. What does that mean? What does that whole connection mean?
Of course, I am so proud of Karen as both her professional life and finding, a career that she's passionate about. I know that, being a teacher for as long as I was, I knew that whatever I did had to matter. Okay. And I feel like that's the way this position has become for Karen. She works with many organizations that make such a difference. And I'm also so proud of her just as a person and as a mom and a sister and I'm so blessed with my kids and, I don't know what else to say. She's just awesome.
We love her too. We definitely, we have all the feels about Karen, just like you did. All right. Well, so now tell us about a little bit about the journey. It was a long journey, right? And gosh, I can't imagine to go through the treatment plan alongside, the journey of building and bringing, developing life and bringing life into the world. Mm-hmm. So that was probably a little opposite ends of a spectrum here. But how did the family, the community, your friends all come together to get through this journey and to, as you said, Karen, not diminish the tragedy of breast cancer, but also to leverage the light of life coming into the world. How did that all play out for you, your family, and your community?
Yeah. So, I think that one, we all just rallied around mom. I mean, there was we were constantly dropping by the house. I feel like even more than we were before. And, you know, even if it was just to update her on my latest doctor's appointment or things like that, you know, just again, to kind of bring some positivity to her when she maybe wasn't feeling well. I remember after her first day of chemotherapy, I brought over like a big crock pot and I made chicken noodle soup because I was like, I don't know how she's going to be feeling. I don't know if she's going to be feeling nauseous from the treatment or what. So my sisters and I, we put together a care package of things that, you know, might make her feel better during or after those sessions. And so just little things like that are some things that we did that I think helped. In addition to how we normally were just living, because we also were just trying to live our normal lives as well and not let treatment or cancer totally uproot, I think, everything. You know, that was, I think, a big part of it, too, was it's just a part of our life. It's not consuming our life. And so we all kind of, I think, helped to make that reality. One thing that I think is really cool, we were talking about all of the grandkids that my mom has. And I can't remember if it was both of the twins or one of the twins was playing high school football at the high school that my mom taught at. And there was a night when my mom was called out onto the field to flip the coin ahead of the game as sort of a celebrity guest / grandparent of a player / teacher at the school. So those.
It was the pink game.
It was the pink game. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was the pink game or not.
Yeah.
But though there were lots of little moments like that beyond our family that made, I think, our community and the school district just be that much more a part of mom's support group.
So do you all have your pink gear and wardrobe ready for tomorrow in the next 31 days?
Yeah. I'll have to wear my pink shirt, Mom.
You still have your Team Trinkle shirt.
I do.
What's the school district that we're shouting out?
Hamilton Southeastern.
Yeah. Hamilton Southeastern in Hamilton County. And I have to say with as far as the journey, I was diagnosed in May and the girls found out and, you know, we started to tell people in June and, you know, I've taught for a long time and I love my job, but I always loved my summers. And I remember when I finally sat down and composed a letter to an email to my administration and let them know what was going on. One of the things I said to them was, you know, the summer has been so different. Every year I was like, oh my gosh, it's almost time for school. So, you know, I'm not ready to go back. This year, my mind is, will I get to go back? And I did start chemo the week before school started. And my school system, we live in a small neighborhood, about 23 houses or so. My school system, my neighbors and my kids just took total care of me.
Hard as a mom, right? Isn't that hard?
Yeah.
You think of yourself as the caregiver.
I take care of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
And it was because of the support I had at school. I think I missed 4 days during chemo.
No, really? Wow. That's incredible.
And, you know, they were, my students were amazing. The staff was amazing. I remember talking to one guidance counselor. I worked with a cadet teaching program and I took my kids on a field trip every year. And, you know, I was in chemo. They didn't want me being exposed to anybody unnecessary. So this guidance counselor said, I'll take your kids on the field trip. And he looked at me and said, you know, this is just a bump in the road. And things like that just keep you going.
Smallest things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember taking my, my homeroom class. They were freshmen to the first, it was like a class meeting of all the freshmen. And I did what I always do. I take them down there where there's, you know, 900 kids. And my assistant principal looked at me and said, what are you doing down here with all those kids? You get back to your room. And I'm like, okay, I can do that.
I'm going.
So
yes,
sir. They were, it was just the support in my community was amazing. And that's something I think, and I hope everybody learns that with this journey. You realize how many people in your life, how many people you have in your life that care about you when you go through something like this. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, and two, I think mom is not tooting her own horn loud enough here because she was the staff sponsor for Riley Dance Marathon. Dawn, you may recall we fundraised for Riley Hospital a few years ago as part of our Indie Tech Gives campaign. And so my mom has done some fundraising for Riley through Riley Dance Marathon. And so throughout cancer treatment as well, she was had this and teaching and being a mom and a grandparent. She also had this other project of Riley Dance Marathon and fundraising for that. And so one thing that I think was cool that this particular group of kids did to really rally around mom was her leadership students on this school club, I guess, always got special t-shirts as leaders, and they did Riley Dance Marathon Riley Dance Marathon t-shirts, excuse me. And they were pink, and on the back they said Team Trinkle. Because so many, being my maiden name being Trinkle, mom being Mrs. Trinkle, we were all just Trinkle throughout high school. So that was just fun to have. And of course, she got t-shirts for all of my sisters because we were all Team Trinkle. And just something my mom didn't know was happening and was just a cool way for them to support and showcase her battle and her victory as well.
So I'm going to put you both on the spot. I don't know who to start with first, but your 6-year survival now, you have a beautiful family, probably have a different relationship. Sounds like you were close then, but maybe more connected, closer now. Karen, now you're a mom, so you can relate to your mom, right? Like things have changed for the better. They're deeper. They're beautiful. Karen, what is the one thing that you'd like to tell your mom right now that you think she needs to hear? And Liz, what's the one thing that you would like to tell your daughter right now that you feel that she needs to hear? So Karen, can we start with you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Every day, I'm just very grateful that you are in my life and that you're still here. Even if it's if you're in one of your many roles, but you're a wonderful Mimi, a wonderful mom, I still call you all the time to ask, how do I do this? What do I need to do in this situation? Because as I'm learning, like you're never not a mom. So I'm just very grateful to have you in my life. And my boys are very grateful to have you in their lives.
Liz?
And I'm supposed to talk now?
If you can.
Okay. But Karen, what I want you to know is you're doing a great job as a mom and keeping all the balls in the air because it's hard. You've got a kindergartner now.
I know.
which is crazy. And the journey changes daily with being a parent, but you're doing an awesome job with those little boys and they are so sweet and they're so smart. Mm-hmm. I see it every day and I love them bunches and I love you bunches.
I love you too.
Well, that's what it's all about. And I think that's why we wanted to come together because it is so important that we take care of ourselves and we be around for each other and for people that are not here yet. And we just want whoever is listening to please make your appointment, take that self-examination when you're in the shower or going to bed. There's signs and warnings everywhere. There's that thing called the internet that you could look it up if you don't know how to do your self-examination. Please schedule your mammography if you're due, because I'm not sure what we would do if the story was different and Liz had a different outcome. Mm-hmm. We all need each other. And I wish you both the the best and all of life's blessings and many years of happiness with all 8 of those kiddos and all 4 daughters. And hopefully the journey just gets more beautiful and more stronger every day. And I'm very grateful for you coming on the show and just talking about it, because hopefully we've inspired some people today. Do you have, I think we have time for one more question. Do you have any advice for anybody out there listening? What would you give them if they are going through a breast cancer diagnosis? Liz, I guess this is more for you.
I think I would go back to those words that the radiologist said to me. They know how to fix this. I'm amazed at what they can do now. And I'm not going to say, don't be worried, don't be scared if you've had that diagnosis, because that's not possible. But have faith in your doctors, listen to your doctors. I feel better now than I felt in years. And I know part of that's retirement.
And grandkids.
And grandkids. And I mean, I love my job, but 41 years is enough. And having time to take care of myself has been amazing. And you can come out on the other side and feel really good. And the vast majority of us do end up on the other side. So that's how I would wrap this up, I think.
Thank goodness for, again, modern medicine and all the nonprofits that are doing what they do every day, especially those that are involved with breast cancer awareness, fearless fundraisers, moms, sisters, daughters, all people. That's about all the time we have for today. I'm sure you shed a little bit of a tear as we did. I appreciate you listening, but more importantly, I appreciate if you make that call, that appointment, that self-examination. Do what you need to do, or do what you're supposed to do. Keep yourself healthy. Please tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But in the meantime, listen to all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio. We have another episode on breast cancer awareness about the Shulock Breast Fest that hopefully you'll find interesting. You can listen to us on your favorite podcast channel, because we stream everywhere. We're also on YouTube and on demand at onecause.com. I would like to thank our sponsor, One Cause, for making this episode possible. One Cause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out at onecause.com. And please visit the resource tab on the homepage. There's a broad catalog of content. It's all free. Hopefully you'll find it helpful. A huge shout out again to my very special guest, my friend, my colleague, Karen Wojak of One Cause, and her mom, Liz Trinkle, who is retired now and enjoying being a Mimi. Thank you so much for sharing your authentic voice and your story and your journey. Hopefully we've inspired a lot of people, and they're right now making those appointments that they need to be making. I so enjoyed our conversation. I don't know if joy is the right word, but I appreciate our conversation. Yeah. But any last words of inspiration? I'm going to go to each of you. Last words of inspiration for our audience, whoever wants to go first.
I'll chime in. And I just want to say, as a family member of somebody who has gone through this, you don't know the multitude of ways that you can support somebody going through treatment and their family. So even if it's just dropping by with dinner or an Uber Eats gift card, somebody to make sure that my dad ate a real meal that day, you know, those types of things are just huge in making an impact on the whole family, and especially the patient who's going through treatment. So everybody can support anybody going through cancer treatment in any number of ways.
Beautiful. Liz, we'll close it out with your last words of inspiration.
If something doesn't feel right, check it out. If it's just a feeling, you know, along with doing those standard tests that are recommended, if you have a worry, don't discount it, because it usually means something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
something you can take care of. Well, I'm grateful for you both. go on and enjoy all each other and your community and those little kids. Happy birthday, Jack. We're so excited for him. But for now, that is a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.